peace and the fullness of godly life to you. So I give you shalom today on this beautiful pre-fall day. I love this kind of weather, especially love the sunshine. Thank you all for your commitment to come together as Christians, celebrate together, enjoy one another, help one another out in a crazy world. Two personal notes. I'll be needing to escape after the service today, so I won't be able to stay for coffee and conversation. The second, probably more important, is that I am half disabled today. I am unable to wear my right hearing aid, and so if I'm going like this, that's the reason why. So I need my ear needs probably a week or so of healing. I think the hearing aid just rubbed and got a sore, and so that kind of thing. But it's important to me because most of you don't realize I have profound hearing loss, which means without my hearing aids, you might as well do sign language for me. It's really tough to hear. So I'm not dissing you. I just can't hear. Okay? A couple of announcements for us from the bulletin. Nothing new, but Salvation Army is this week. And for me, I have Iron Range renewal this Thursday as we begin to, as I begin to join a group studying theology. Theology is not one of my favorite things, as you know. Next Sunday, 2 o'clock, the nursing home service. If you're able to attend and help out, that would be awesome. The service there is about 20 minutes, half hour, depending. But as you know, some of you know who have been there and helped out with me, I like to take personal time with each person afterward to talk with them and pray with them and encourage them. And then 2 weeks from today, very important event in my faith life, and that is All Church Sunday, which this year will be held at the high school, Rock Ridge High School Performing Arts Center. Fellowship at 10 o'clock, and the service is at 11 o'clock. I've agreed to help out with the coffee, getting coffee ready. We now are approved. They had to rent the foyer to be able to provide coffee because you can't take coffee into the auditorium. So I have agreed to help out with the coffee. Getting details and procedures has been a challenge, but I'm working on that. Chisholm Baptist Church has 2 100-cup coffee makers, so I may have to go over and pick those up. And looks like Youth for Christ is providing the coffee, so it's collecting all this stuff and bringing it over there and getting the coffee started. If you'd like to help out with that, getting the coffee started, some of you know how to make coffee in a 100-cup coffee maker. If you know how to do that, please tell me how to do that. Because if you don't, I'm going to follow whatever instructions I can find on the internet. And the last time I did that with a big coffee maker, we had fairly strong coffee. So if you know how to do that, I'd appreciate your instructions. I don't think I'll need any help collecting the stuff and getting it over there. I think I can get it over there okay. But if you'd like to help out with that 2 weeks from today in the morning, I'd appreciate it. If you feel led to be at the coffee serving area, to be an encourager and a greeter. That would be awesome as well. I asked if we could do that, and they kind of said, well, we've got greeters, and we sort of haven't had the coffee people do that before. And I thought, why not? Why not have another couple smiling faces as they come in and get their coffee? A reminder, Operation Christmas Child, pick up collectibles for kids if you need to know more. Barb and Bernie and probably Shirley talk to people. They can let you know what they need to fill those boxes. I'd like you to read the special missionary prayer focus for this week. We've had that in our bulletin many times before, but it is an amazing story of Randy Bevis, who invented, created something that is now a worldwide successful effort in providing food for people around the world that are struggling with food, and also providing an income source for poor people. So read that if you get a chance. I think that takes care of the announcements. We don't sing this hymn, and so I've chosen to use it as a call, two hymns actually, chosen to use one as a call to worship and one as our opening prayer. The call to worship is from number 52. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Our first hymn is number 47.
Stand if you're able, let the whole creation cry. Cry, glory to the Lord on high. Heaven and earth awake and sing, praise Him, our Almighty King. Praise Him, angel hosts above, ever bright and fair in love. Sun and moon, lift up your voice. Night and stars in God rejoice. Christians striving for the Lord, prophets burning with His word. Those to whom the arts belong, add their voices to the song. Those of knowledge and of law, to the glorious circle draw. All who work and all who wait, sing the Lord is good and great. Men and women, young and old, raise the anthem loud and bold. And let children's happy hearts in this worship take their parts. From the north to southern pole, let the mighty chorus roll. Holy, holy, holy One, glory be to God alone.
We worship you only, O Lord, in spirit and in truth. O Lord, with heart and soul and mind, O Lord, we worship only You. We follow in Your paths, O Lord. We follow without fainting, Lord. We bow before Your throne, O Lord, and worship only You. We contemplate Your glory, Lord. We preach Your grace and love, O Lord. Your kingdom to proclaim, O Lord, and worship only You. The children we protect, O Lord. The weak we will sustain, O Lord. The poor we will defend, O Lord, and worship only You. We worship only You, O Lord, in spirit and in truth, O Lord, with heart and soul and mind, O Lord, we worship only You. Amen.
We can't do this without singing the chorus. We worship only You, O Lord, in spirit and in truth, O Lord, with heart and soul and mind, O Lord, we worship only You. Hard to do just the chorus, but that's what we're doing, because He already prayed the rest of the song.
We could have done that. Thank you. You may be seated. Except we don't have it on the... Yep.
Our Old Testament lesson is Psalms, the whole chapter of 133, found on page 474 if you have a pew Bible. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his ropes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. And our New Testament lesson is from Romans 11, first of all, verses 1 to 2a, and then moving on to 29 to 32. I ask then, did God reject His people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abram from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject His people, whom He forever knew. And then verse 29. For God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience. So they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that He may have mercy on them all.
I'd ask the ushers to come forward at this time. Let's pray together. We are so grateful, our great and gracious God, for all the good things that You pour into our lives. In the midst of a world that isn't always interested in pouring good into our lives. That is why, Lord, we worship only You. We ask You to bless us and these gifts that we give. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can sing along if you want, 428. I will lift my eyes to the hills and their Creator, who made all heaven and earth. For he watches me, will not sleep, no, never slumber. He's ever over me. As I come, as I go, I am safe, for I know that his care is sufficient for me. Winter warmth and light, and a shady place in summer, he's ever over me.
Let's stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Turn to 28, Shout for Joy, 2-8. To the tune that's also a Christmas song, Persona Totie.
Shout for joy loud and long, God be praised with a song. To the Lord we belong, children of our Maker, God the great Life-Giver. Shout for joy, 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 shout for joy, joy, joy. God is love, God is light, God is everlasting.
By God's word all was made, heaven and earth, light and shade, nature's wonders displayed. We to rule creation from its first foundation. Shout for joy, 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 shout for joy, joy, joy. God is love, God is light, God is everlasting. Yet our pride makes us fall, so Christ came for us all. Not the righteous to call, by his cross and passion, bringing us salvation. Shout for joy, 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 shout for joy, joy, joy. God is love, God is light, God is everlasting. Now has Christ truly risen, and his Spirit is given to all those under heaven who will walk beside him, though they once denied him. Shout for joy, 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 shout for joy, joy, joy. God is love, God is light, God is everlasting.
I do so appreciate Jeffrey helping out on Sunday mornings, probably more than you do, because it helps, takes away one less task that I have to scramble for in the morning. So thank you. Appreciate so much. You know, Shirley read that scripture today. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So much appreciate the gift that God has poured into Jeffrey's life that he shares with us. And all of us have gifts. That's what that scripture says, that we can pour into each other's lives. And we'll be talking a little bit about that this morning. This morning, as we go to prayer, are there prayer requests? Bernie has let me know that Elizabeth has had to, and her family have had to, vacate their home, find other living arrangements because of fires near Reno. And I told her I had no clue. It seems like there's fires everywhere now, for crying out loud. So we will pray for Elizabeth and her family, and particularly that their home and property is kept safe, and those in that area that are under threat of fire, that people and their belongings are kept safe. Other prayer requests that we have this morning.
I have a prayer. Faith had an MRI. The radiologist said that he only saw hard scar tissue. He did not see the tumor anymore. And I guess when cancer has metastasized, there's a blood test that shows it in the blood. And when they did the first test, it showed it could go anywhere from 0 to 200. And
all right. Yeah. Okay, thank you. We'll continue to pray for Faith and her family. Cute little kids, weren't they? Other prayer requests.
I just prayed that I can stay upright. I fell this week. Done really well, not falling. The balance has been an issue with the sprained ankle and other kinds of things, but I fell on Thursday and then had a whole bunch of tests and everything was okay, but and it was good in some ways to have all the tests, but yeah, hurt my wrist.
So they don't know why yet?
Why I fell?
Oh yeah, the instability. Oh, okay.
I tripped over an uneven step.
Ah, okay. Watch the tripping and falling.
I didn't notice it coming up.
Okay. My brother-in-law, Don, married to my sister Linda, fell down the stairs, ended up in the hospital, and broken wrists, and he's a big guy, so when he went down, pretty serious. So he's recovering. There are some things that they don't know. I am very, after Wayne's accident, I am just very concerned about people falling. It's not to be taken lightly, and you know my story. I have fallen down the steps several times, but I'm taking it more seriously and trying to be a little bit more careful on uneven surfaces called steps and other surfaces, because it can be pretty, obviously pretty serious. Other prayer requests. Okay, let's go to prayer, and of course I'm going to pray for the All Church Sunday, 2 weeks from today. Shirley read from the Psalms this morning. How good and how pleasant it is to brethren to dwell together in unity. And I know between different denominations and churches, we have some theological differences. Some people call them disagreements. I call them differences. We just look at things different ways. But we are one in the Lord Jesus, one under our Father God. And I know that God delights when we will come together and acknowledge that we are one in this God who is God over all. So let's pray together. We come to you first, as we have been taught, our Father God, with adoration and praise and thanksgiving. We give you the glory that you deserve, that you merit. Glory because of who you are, more than what you have done. Because, our Father God, we know that everything you do comes out of who you are. We adore you because you are good. Even when we don't understand what's happening in this world, we declare, our Father God, that you are good. We adore you because you are merciful and gracious and forgiving. You know how many times we have come to you for your mercy and grace and forgiveness. We come to you once again and ask that you would wash away our sins and allow us to connect with you in deeper, stronger, fresher ways in the days ahead. We have committed ourselves that you are our God and that your Son, Jesus, is our Lord, our guide, our mentor, our rabbi, our teacher, our savior, our redeemer, and our friend. And so, Lord Jesus, we honor you. We honor you because you are one with the Father, that you are God truly. But we also honor you because you are man truly, one of us, knowing our thoughts, our hearts, our weaknesses, our struggles, and our strengths. You know us personally. And so we honor you and glorify you. And Father God, Lord Jesus, we honor you with your Holy Spirit that you have sent not just to be with us, but to be in us, our very life breath. You are our life. You are our love. You are our hope. You are our strength. And so, our Father God, we would lift up to you those who are struggling physically. We thank you that you will make progress with healing for Jeffrey, for Roger, for Gail, for Faith, and others who are struggling with physical difficulties like my brother-in-law Don. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you that you are a God who cares. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son Jesus, who abundantly and freely gave away healing to people when he was here on earth, and that your power through your Holy Spirit is still present today. so we can come to you. We ask you, Father, to bless Elizabeth and her family in these changes that have had to take place, disrupting their family routines, probably impacting them with greater costs because of the move. And so we ask that you'd be with them, supply their needs, but most of all, encourage them, give them peace and comfort, and a quick return to the safety of their home. We pray for the folks that are at risk and the properties in the Reno area, and ask that you would keep that fire away from damaging people or their properties. We thank you that we can ask you this because you care about people. We thank you most of all today, our Father God, for your just incredible goodness to us. Father, we look at our lives and we trim out, cull out your goodness, so that we can cling to you and your goodness to us, even in the midst of struggles and challenges, frustrations, anxiety, physical struggles, no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what our human bodies throw at us, no matter what our enemies throw at us, we cling to you. We worship only you. And so it's with great joy that we begin this day together, brothers and sisters of faith, encouraging one another. It is with great joy, our Father God, that we begin our day with you and launch out into this day, week, month, year, and future. You are our God. We worship only you. We glorify you because of your Son, Jesus, who has paved the way for us to walk into your throne room, our Father, and worship only you. And so that it is through that name that we seal this time, the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're now going to sing a Brazilian song. It's a folk song translated by Gerard Hartford and then put into an arrangement by Cumter Ken Fenton. 45. I just changed it just to piano. 4-5.
Sing to the Lord, oh sing God a new song, oh sing to the Lord, oh sing God a new song, oh sing to God, oh sing to our God, the Lord. And God has done wonders, for God is the Lord, and God has done wonders, for God is the Lord. And God has done wonders, oh sing to our God, oh sing to our God. So dance for our God, and blow all the trumpets, so dance for our God. And blow all the trumpets, so dance for our God. And blow all the trumpets, and sing to our God, and sing to our God.
Cantará, Señor, un cántico nuevo.
Cantará, Señor, un cántico nuevo. Cantará, Señor, un cántico nuevo. Cantará, Señor, cantará, Señor.
something.
Nothing like a little Spanish to liven up the morning, huh?
If you can speak Spanish.
Yeah, right. Well, you know a little bit of Spanish. Hola, if nothing else, probably. You know a little bit of Hebrew. You know a little bit of a lot of English. You know a little bit of Greek, you know, so you could tell people you're no I speak four languages. Very limited, however.
My wife tells me I speak Spanish with a Swedish accent.
Surprise, surprise. Yep. This morning we continue in Acts chapter 20. As normal, it's been a challenge for me. Because I just want, there is so much in the Bible, so much in this book. And when I study, I just go crazy. And I get all sorts of rabbit trails. And I just want to share all that. But I can't. Time is limited until we get to Sunday school class. And then you have to put up with me talking for an hour. And then I get on all those rabbit trails. But this morning is a really interesting passage in Acts chapter 20. Just an overview. First, we get a little history of Paul's travels and his bizarre decision making. Bizarre not because it was wrong, but bizarre because he says one thing and then all of a sudden does something else. He is being led by the Lord, and we'll see that this morning. We see it all through the book of Acts as Paul travels. And then we have that very strange episode where the boy falls out of the window. So we get to cover that this morning. And then we'll end with verse 13. And I'm not going to give you the end of the story. But all of these tie together, and I'm going to try to tie them together in what I've entitled is He is Us. Or They Are We. And that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? But this was a revelation for our good friend Luke in Acts chapter 20. So I'm going to try to help it be a revelation for us this morning. But in my bizarre way of thinking, I start with science fiction. In science fiction, sometimes there's the infiltration of aliens into human bodies, and then there is the relation, the revelation, He is us. This alien is us. And then, of course, we have war movies where a spy infiltrates, and along the way, there's a sudden realization that He is us. Or espionage movies where there are ghost assets, people that look like us. He is us, but aren't. But my favorite is remembering Pogo. How many remember Pogo? Oh, not too many. I am surprised.
What did you say?
Pogo.
The Pogo stick?
similar. Pogo was a comic strip that originated back in the 40s, probably why some of you don't remember, and was published in the newspaper from 1949 to 1975. Pogo was a fairy tale parody, an opossum who had a friend who was a porcupine, also had a friend who was a crocodile. And through their lives, they made commentaries on social and political situations during those years. Famous one, that Walt, the writer, the author, Walt Kelly, made, was on Earth Day in 1971. And the Pogo comic strip has two frames. The first frame is these two animals, the opossum and the porcupine, walking through a forest. And they were positioned down in southern United States, so it was sort of a swamp-like forest. And the porcupine was saying to Pogo, it is just so wonderful walking in the outdoors and just enjoying the outdoors and all that is available to us. And in the second frame, the two of them are sitting on tree stumps overlooking trash that had been thrown into this beautiful forest. And Pogo says to his friend, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." That, you may remember, that line became famous. I'd like to turn that line on us, because Luke had a revelation in Acts chapter 20, where he realized, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." Not the enemy from a negative perspective, but the enemy from a positive perspective, which resulted in a negative perspective. And that probably doesn't make much sense either, so we'll go through it. So that's my satire for the day, my parable for the day. We have met the enemy, and he is us. So permit me to ask this question. What is the purpose of church? Why do we get together? Why are we so committed while others are not? It is important to me because there has been decline in interest in corporate worship, gathering together in the name of Jesus, since the 1960s. Generation after generation has impacted society with this thought that church isn't important. And the millennials, Generation X, Generation Z, and Generation Alpha have continued that thought. Church isn't important. It's interesting because Generation Alpha is seeing a new reason for church to be important. And so there's a rise in attendance at church. But there's good reason for people to believe that church is not important. So, before we get to that in Acts chapter 20, let's do a quick catch-up on Paul's journey. As we learned previously, Paul has spent time going through the churches of Macedonia, encouraging them, preaching to them, teaching them, but he's also been doing one other thing, and that he's been collecting an offering from all the churches in the three provinces of Greece for the poor Christians in Jerusalem, which is why he's intending to go to Jerusalem to give this offering to the leaders in Jerusalem. interesting to me that he's making a collection among the Greek Christians to give to the Jewish Christians who are undergoing severe persecution. But the churches in Macedonia were undergoing persecution as well. And so he leaves Ephesus, Acts chapter 20, he leaves Ephesus in about AD 57. Oddly, instead of heading to Jerusalem, he heads back into Macedonia again. He has spent over a year collecting this offering, but he goes back into Macedonia again to visit or revisit the folks that he had spent time with before. After he spends some time in Macedonia, he decides it's time to go to Jerusalem, and so he intends to go straight across the sea, a very short distance, to get back into Asia Minor so he can walk down to Jerusalem. But the Jews, the leaders, remember the word Jews, J-E-W-S, in the book of Acts, refers to those leaders of the Jewish people who opposed Paul. So whenever you read that word in the book of Acts, they're like the enemy of Paul. They interfere, and they make it impossible for him to take a ship across. And so Paul has to travel all the way up through Greece, Macedonia, and Thrace, all the way over into Galatia, into Asia Minor, before he can continue his journey down to Jerusalem. So that's what he does, because he has to. Now I'd like to look at, let's see if I can find the verse here. Verse 4, and I'm not going to read all those names. And he was accompanied by, and there is a list of 7 names that are his friends going along with him. But there were actually 8 people, because one is missing from that list that becomes important in just a second. And then this brief episode, and I'll read it, starting in verse 7. And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to depart the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. When's the last time you've been in a church service that went for 6 hours, from 6 o'clock in the evening till midnight? Probably never. Well, that's what was happening here. And so at midnight, verse 8, and there were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together, and there was a certain young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill. Get that picture? He's sitting on the windowsill. Paul's been going on for 6 hours. Eutychus is dozing off. Okay. And sinking into a deep sleep. As Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the 3rd floor and was picked up dead. What do you do? Do you stop the church service because somebody falls out of the window? Yes, I would guess we would stop the church service if somebody fell out of the window. That's what Paul did. Verse 10, but Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, do not be troubled, for his life is in him. Where did that come from? It says in verse 9, Eutychus was picked up dead. another miracle. Now, we're not given a great description about this miracle and how it happened. All it says that Paul came, fell upon him, and embraced him. Kind of reminds me of Elijah and Elisha, doesn't it? When they fell upon the kids. And we don't know this mystery, and I don't recommend it as a method, but it's what Paul did. Passing life into this boy, Eutychus. After this, in verse 11, when he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak. We're now into a 12-hour church service. But in verse 12 it says, and they took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. So a miracle, an incredible miracle. Paul raising this boy from the dead. But my interest is not in the miracle. My interest is what made these Christians so committed that they would stay there for 12 hours. And that's when I find this miracle in the life of the missing partner. The missing partner is Luke. His name isn't listed in verse 4, but he's there. And so we find this miracle in Luke's life. And I'm going to read this for you and see if you can catch it. Verse 13. But we, going ahead to the ship, set sail for Assos, intending from there to take Paul on board, for thus he had arranged it, intending himself to go by land. Did you catch it? What was the miracle? Overlooked, easy to overlook. I'm not sure even Luke caught it himself. Two-letter word. Let me read it again. But we. Easy to overlook, isn't it? But a revelation to Luke. We means I am included. This is the first place Luke, in all of the writing of the book of Acts, makes this realization. I am part of the church. I'm part of this mission that Paul is on. He's been so focused on this great apostle Paul. And all of a sudden, Luke comes to this realization. Verse 13, but we. Verse 15, we arrived. We crossed. We came. And it even continues on for the rest of the book of Acts. A couple of spots. In chapter 21, verse 2, we went. Verse 3, we had come. We kept sailing. Verse 5, we departed. We said farewell. Verse 6, we went on board. Verse 7, we had finished the voyage. We stayed with them. And I could go on and on and on. So easy to miss that two-letter word and the revelation that came to Luke. So my question that I mentioned earlier is, why are we in church? What is church good for? What is church? Most of our culture is unable to answer that question, which is why they're not here. Interesting. on this particular subject this morning. I got a phone call. A lady's calling and said she works in Grand Rapids and she's out of gas. Can we help with gas money so she can get to work in Grand Rapids this week until her payday? Why does she call a church? Why is church? And so I'm going to leave you with that question. Leave you with Luke's revelation. We are in this thing, whether you like it or not. We are in this thing up to our necks. We've chosen to be in this thing called church. But what is church? Why are we here? What are we doing? Well, there's lots of answers to that that we can't cover today, but we're going to be covering them in the weeks ahead. I believe Luke was changed. I don't know what changed him. I don't know if Eutychus falling out of the window changed him. I don't know what took place in Luke's life, but his perspective in writing the book of Acts is no longer Paul. Although Paul continues to be important in the book of Acts. But it's also me. We. I am in this thing. Let's pray together. Father, help us to understand what this miracle is that you created, called the Church of Jesus Christ. Your church, not our church. Not the churches. Your church. Your people. Your work. Your glory. We're going to need your help, Father, to understand that and to act on that. And so we ask for your help. We thank you for the privilege that we have sitting here today with one another. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we thank you, our Father God, for our brothers and sisters who are sitting elsewhere in other churches, still your church. We thank you for your work beyond us and for your glory. But once again, Father, we ask you, help us to understand it so we can serve you better, honor you better, and worship you more. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're able to stand and let us sing 27.
Who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul he fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God all praise and glory. What God almighty power has made, in mercy he is keeping. By morning glow or evening shade, he watches without sleeping. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right. To God all praise and glory. The Lord is never far away, but through all grief distressing,
and ever present help and stay, our peace and joy and blessing. As with a mother's tender hand, he leads his own, his chosen band, to God all praise and glory. So all my toils away along, I sing aloud his praises, that all may hear the grateful song my voice unwearied raises. Be joyful in the Lord, my heart, both soul and body. Bear your part to God all praise and glory.
Turn to one another. Let us sing our blessing to one another as we go out, as we enjoy some refreshment, and then go serve the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.